In the evenings, we've been trying to check in with local business owners and see how they're adjusting to this stay-at-home order and to this COVID-19 pandemic. And some business owners have been able to stay open. Some have made the decision to temporarily close. And I feel like that's an important conversation. You're always welcome to share a business that you think we should talk to. 312-981-7200. You can always call us or text us, and we can always follow up with that business as well. But a very popular, you know, it's actually been a mecca for craft beer since 1992, and wonderful food, kind of representing the food culture from Belgium, and the owner of Hop Leaf Bar in Andersonville, Michael Roper, is with us. And Michael is kind of the person that you would want to live in your neighborhood. I'm sure that the alderman there is really grateful that he's there, because he's always giving back to the community. He's also the type of restaurant owner, bar owner that you would want to work for. It seems that, you know, just, there's just not a person that I've ever met that's had a negative thing to say about Michael Roper, which is a pretty incredible thing. So, Michael, hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm healthy.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. What has your routine been? I know that you've made the decision to temporarily close. How did you come to that decision, and what's your routine been like?
Well, you know, we did close on March 17th, and you know, we figured that our business model really was not, it didn't mix well with delivery and curbside pickup of food and things like that. People come to Hop Leaf, it's more of an experiential thing. Yes, we have really great food, but it's all about sort of the camaraderie, the experience, and of course, you know, pairing the food with beer. We just felt that, you know, you can't really put Hop Leaf in a box.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we did decide to close, and it's been, you know, it's very strange. I actually have been in the bar every single day since then, and some days, pretty long days, keeping an eye on things and, you know, doing some little cleanup work. We did sell off a lot of our bottled inventory.
Okay.
You know, just to get some revenue coming in. And so, you know, but I do spend a little bit of time there. I'll be back there later tonight, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Okay. So doing a lot of paperwork and checking on the place?
Yeah, you know, the various loan programs and things like that, the application processes are, you know, they're pretty complicated. And at this point, I really don't have any help.
Mm-hmm.
With that, and we haven't got any of that assistance yet, but you know, we're working on that. And then you know, we have a pretty big and complicated physical plant in a 120-year-old building. It's really good to keep an eye on it, and the reason that I'll go back tonight is that we had a very big rainstorm, and a few days after the closing we had a similar rainstorm. And we had some plumbing back up.
Wow.
And I actually had to bring our maintenance staff back in to clean up, because it actually pushed the roof rainwater through the grease trap.
Oh my
and
goodness.
It was a mess.
As though you don't have anything else to worry about, that happens too. How many employees do you have? And then did you decide to lay off or furlough everyone?
So we had 65 employees on the 16th. We did lay everybody off. Most of them have been able to get unemployment. You know, we hope that at the end of this, that, you know, we can hire back as many of them as possible. Some of them have other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
A few of them have found things to do, but you know, it's very hard on everybody. And you know, my employees are also very social people. We're all, you know, we're in the hospitality business.
Right.
And we like that. And if you have no one to be hospitable to, it drives you nuts.
It's soul sapping, especially for you when that's your livelihood and it's your heart and soul.
It is, and it's very strange. So I do spend a fair amount of time at night there. And some of it is, I feel like, less so now, but at first I was a little nervous about, you know, perhaps that there would be some vandalism or extra mm-hmm. break-ins and things like that. So I was playing the role of a night watchman. And fortunately, that hasn't really been much of an issue around town. But anyway, when I'm there, you know, it's midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night or something, and there's nobody in there. I mean, it is so weird. It's so quiet.
Oh, I can only imagine, especially for you, because you're an owner that's frequently at your establishment, and it's always great to be able to say hi to you when, you know, you're popping in for a great beer and mussels, of course. Speaking of mussels, which it's one of the food items that you're really known for, I know at the start of this, you had such a inventory of mussels that you decided to do something unique with them.
Yeah, we had about 120 pounds of them, that we had ordered thinking that it would be a, you know, typical weekend. And we did sell off quite a few, but, you know, we wound up with 120 pounds left over. So, that is, you know, there's perishable food and then there's mussels.
Right.
And we can't like think of something, you know, to do with them over time. We need to get rid of them right away. So, I went on social media and we put them all into, like 2-pound bags. And then we had a lot of other things. We had a lot of celery and shallots and bay leaves. So we put together sort of a packet so that people could cook them with the proper ingredients. And we had some of our house white chips. We had a little bag of that. And the response was enormous. I mean, people, they were gone very, very quickly.
Do you happen to know who drove the farthest to come and collect their pounds of mussels?
Oh, I wish I did.
I bet someone drove very far.
I think, I'm sure they did. I mean, a lot of it was neighborhood people. Mm-hmm. And then, we just felt like that was the number one perishable food that we had to deal with. And then we had a little bit of time to find homes for the 800 pounds of potatoes we had on hand, the 200 pounds of onions, and, you know, all the other things that, you know, we didn't want to go to waste. And in fact, nothing went to waste.
Oh, that's great to hear. We mentioned all the employees that you had to lay off. You also mentioned that you've been at the bar restaurant working on loan applications. We've talked to enough restaurateurs and, you know, owners at this point to know that the PPP program and the SBA loans have been really rife with a lot of issues, maybe just really ill-tailored to help out small mom-and-pop restaurants. How's the experience been for you?
Well, you know, I actually will give a little bit of I'll have be understanding a little bit, because they put this together very, very quickly. There was not a lot of time to iron out the details, and it shows. I mean, it's not an ideal program for a lot of businesses. It's a little complicated. Some of the aspects of it that you would have to do in order to get the loan forgiven are not very realistic. However, it is a lifeline, and for some places, many places, it might be the difference between opening on June 1st or July 1st mm-hmm. and boarding up your place and walking away from it.
Got it. And were you able to get a loan or...
So far, we're still waiting.
Okay.
So we don't know what will happen. I'm hopeful. I'm more hopeful than I was during the first round.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, the fact that the SBA's computer system completely collapsed yesterday actually worked in our favor.
Well, good to hear.
Gave us a little bit more time.
Yes. Well, that might have been a bad thing for a lot of people, but we're happy that it helped out Michael Roper of Hop Leaf Bar. That's a good thing. I've noticed that a lot of restaurants initially that weren't set up for delivery or takeout decided, okay, we're going to reassess, we're going to temporarily close, we're going to see, you know, how long the stay-at-home order is going to be. And then when the governor extended it, I've noticed that some restaurants have decided, okay, we're going to have to open up somehow, some way, and now are trying to do food delivery or takeout. Is that something that you foresee in the future for Hop Leaf?
I don't see it. The thing is, for one thing, is that I don't think the volume of business would be enough to warrant, we'd be starting all over. We don't have any perishable foods at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have to spend a lot of money to sort of bring us back to life and hire some employees back and, you know, all that kind of thing, not really knowing how successful it would be. And we have looked around at some of our neighboring restaurants who, on the first round, did open up for curbside or delivery. And then after only a few days, some of them stopped. And I think they stopped because they said, you know, we're selling a little bit of food, but we're not really making any money.
Right. So in the end, it's just not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing that we could do now is lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, food, while we're very proud of our food, the profit center of our concept is really the beverage end.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't really, you know, sell you, you know, two or three pints of beer or a bottle of wine to have with your food, it's not, you know, the margins get to be pretty, pretty narrow.
You said that you sold a lot of your bottled inventory, but what Yep. about the inventory that you had on draft? What happened to that?
So we, you know, on the day we closed, we found ourselves with 83 kegs of untapped beer.
Wow.
And 66 kegs of tapped beer. And that's a lot of beer. And I have some, you know, fears that if this continues to go on and we're closed for a longer period of time, a lot of that beer is not going to be at its best.
Right.
So I have contacted quality control people from several breweries that we have some of their products, and I've got some pretty good ideas about which beers are the most time sensitive. And, you know, many of them aren't. I mean, you know, there's beers like Old Rasputin Imperial Stout. I could have that keg down there for 2 years, and it's not going to be a problem. But we do worry about the IPAs, the Pilsners, the Helles beers, the Vienna lagers, and things like that. And we tried something last Wednesday. We did a growler sale,
mm-hmm.
which we've never done before, and we did it in a way that was very safe. People, you know, we had a window open, and they told us what they wanted, and you know, we had gloves on and masks and everything, and there was very little, you know, contact. It was pretty successful, and we sold through quite a bit of the more time sensitive beers, and we'll probably do two or three more of those.
Well, fantastic. And you'll tell us on your website when you do?
Yep, it's on the website and social media. We have a lot of customers. You know, we have a pretty, you know, we have a lot of big beer fans among our customers.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them have home draft
brewing
systems or
yeah.
kegerators.
Uh-huh.
We have sold, and really I sold them at pretty much cost, just to move them along and stay fresh. We have sold 25 kegs.
Fantastic to hear. Oh, Michael Roper, you're an institution, and so is your bar, the Hop Leaf Bar in Andersonville. stay tuned to Hopleaf's website and also to their Facebook and social media pages to find out when you can go and get your growler filled. And hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll be able to have a fresh one on draft right there at the bar. Thanks, Michael, for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you.
Absolutely.